hurricanes. Though the season doesn't start for another 2 months, it is something on top of most Floridians' minds year-round. Predictions for upcoming summer and fall storms released by Colorado State University, one of the premier atmospheric science centers in the U.S., indicates a highly active season for the Atlantic.
Call for 11 hurricanes is the highest in our 30-year history of putting out these forecasts. If you have a great amount of storms, you're just greatly increasing the chances for those storms to interact with land, you know, somewhere in the Gulf, somewhere on the East Coast.
What models might mean for hurricane risk to Florida and how you can start preparing now. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Sarah Sowers, and this is The Point from WUFT News. Outlooks on the 2024 hurricane season, which officially begins at the end of May, are already looking daunting. Although the National Hurricane Center has yet to release their predictions, other meteorologists and accredited institutions have published predictions, giving a glimpse into the active season ahead. I spoke with Nick Mesa, a graduate research assistant in atmospheric sciences at Colorado State University, about what the upcoming hurricane season might look like and why it's more active than usual.
We recently just put out our 2024 seasonal hurricane forecast, which recently calls for 23 named storms, 11 hurricanes, and 5 major hurricanes. Call for 11 hurricanes is the highest in our 30-year history of putting out these forecasts. Overall, this well above average forecast is mainly in part due to two factors. The first one being very high sea surface temperatures in the tropical and eastern subtropical Atlantic. Hurricanes love warm waters. That's their primary fuel to develop and intensify. And there'll be an abundance of that even right now and later on at the peak of the season. Additionally, while right now the tropical Pacific is characterized by El Nino conditions, we'll kind of see a transition into more neutral conditions later on over the summer and eventually into La Nina by peak hurricane season. Now, why is this important for the Atlantic? Typically, when we have La Nina in the Pacific, that is typically associated with lower wind shear in the Atlantic. What is vertical wind shear? Vertical wind shear is essentially changing directions and magnitudes of the wind with height. Typically, hurricanes do not like too much vertical wind shear as that helps tear them apart. So this season with La Nina and the peak of hurricane season, we can see less vertical wind shear and high sea surface temperatures, but really just a very conducive environment for these storms to develop and intensify.
Right. And I know last year, relatively speaking, the state of Florida got spared a little bit with only one major named storm hitting the coast. But is there any prediction on how many of these storms might be large major hurricanes that are off into the Atlantic, kind of like what we saw last season, versus those that will track more towards land?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as of right now, of course, being a bit early before hurricane season starts, it is pretty difficult to pinpoint the strength and location of where these storms will occur, right? However, based on past historical data, which is what we primarily use to develop this forecast, we can kind of point to two things for an increased risk at landfall on the continental U.S. The first one primarily being that with the La Nina years that were previously mentioned, we typically see a Bermuda high in the central Atlantic. This typically helps slingshot storms across the Atlantic into more hurricane-prone land masses, which are, of course, more highly populated. So that kind of increases the chance for these storms to track further west into places that are more hurricane-prone. Additionally, just with math here, right, if you have a great amount of storms, you're just greatly increasing the chances for those storms to interact with land, you know, somewhere in the Gulf, somewhere on the East Coast. 62% chance of landfall on the continental U.S. coastline, 34% chance of landfall on the East Coast, including all the way up to Cedar Key, and a 42% chance along the Gulf Coast, starting from the Florida Panhandle. And all those values are above average. Now, typically, we don't like to stick to numbers, but this is just kind of showing the elevated risk of landfall in the continental U.S.
What determines kind of the paths of these hurricanes? Is it wind? Is it temperature, like you were saying, on the surface? What determines whether it might end up in the Gulf or end up in the Atlantic?
A few layers to this one, I guess. It really depends what stage you are in the storm and also where the storm is. So if you have a weaker storm, typically you won't see as much, the storm won't extend as high into the atmosphere, I guess you could say. As that storm gets stronger, we kind of see a taller vertical profile. So essentially, if you have a shorter storm, you're going to be more susceptible to the atmospheric flow at the lower levels of the atmosphere, Once you have a stronger storm, sometimes they can even dictate their own environment, but they become more susceptible to environmental flows that are higher in the atmosphere, I guess. And additionally, this is also just dependent on where you form, right? If you form further out east in the Atlantic, typically that can be beneficial as they can kind of curve out into the central Atlantic, not really impact anybody. As I mentioned earlier with La Niña, if you have a stronger subtropical high, that can kind of slingshot these storms further west, not necessarily have them recurve into the Atlantic where they impact land. So it really matters how strong the storm is and where it forms.
And how does Colorado State's predictions right now compare to other predictions that might be out?
So a few other predictions we have right now, I believe AccuWeather just released theirs. They also called for a very active season. We had European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecasting. They just released their April update, and they mentioned also pretty above average season. This is a great time to mention, though, that typically for our forecast, April being so far out, there's some margin of error, of course, associated with that. But that usually that margin of error shrinks as time goes on. So we have additional forecasts coming out in June, July, and August once the hurricane season gets started. Additionally, NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, releases their official hurricane forecast in May.
How is it that you guys are able to predict these hurricanes so far out from the season actually starting?
We get that all the time. And one of the main reasons why we can actually issue these forecasts so far out here in April is that history has told us that we can start to see some large-scale patterns at this time of year that are typically correlated with activity later on in the next couple of months. Overall, we found that by looking at these large-scale patterns at this time of the year, we can get an idea of what's to come later on this season that's better than just spitting out the average number of storms that occur every year.
I guess when it comes to what residents in Florida really want to know is how damaging might these storms be, if there's any kind of way to predict that.
Yeah, so predicting intensity and track is still pretty difficult at this point. But the main thing we want to stress right now is, the potential is there, just like every season, for a storm to hit your area. So the main thing that you can do at this point, in April and May, is prepare your hurricane preparedness kit, prepare your evacuation plan, visit ready.gov and look at the resources on there. Having been born and raised in Florida, one of the things I always like to do at this time of year, trim your trees. If you can get your hurt, if you're looking into hurricane doors and windows, maybe look into that a little bit further. Make sure your loved ones, if they have all the stuff that they need. Now is a great time to be proactive instead of being reactive if a storm threatens your area in the future.
Nick Mesa works as a graduate assistant on tropical cyclone research at Colorado State University, talking about the forecasted 2024 hurricane season. Now for today's top headlines. Floridians who have been arrested but not charged might be able to get their guns back sooner. WFSU reports that a new law taking effect July 1st will prevent law enforcement from holding on to confiscated private property. Officials will have 30 days to return a person's weapons once released from a detention center with a valid ID and after they've passed a criminal background check. This does not include any weapons actively being used as evidence. Disney received permission to pause a federal lawsuit against Governor Ron DeSantis and the appointed governing district board for 2 months. The Associated Press reports the pause was motivated by the settlement deal last month between Central Florida Tourism Oversight District and Disney. Disney had a deadline of next week to file an opening brief in its appeal to the federal 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, but that deadline is now set for mid-June. Churches in downtown Gainesville are teaming up to coordinate food programs to combat hunger. Main Street Daily News reports the services from nearly a dozen local nonprofits want to better serve homeless neighbors by focusing on outreach. Leaders say they aim to create a handout and a master list with what services are being offered and when, so that people are aware of what food or clothing is available. Subscribe to the Point newsletter, which drops the latest Florida stories into your inbox every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Visit WUFT.org to subscribe and view our most recent issues. I'm Sarah Sowers, and you've been listening to The Point from the University of Florida's College of Journalism and Communications. Have a great Tuesday.